Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Sunday at the pregame show, we start off, and Chris Sanders, our guy, our favorite, Chris Sanders, says that he's going to go with the Titans. So it's 9:30, and he says he's going with the Titans. And then when we made our predictions at 11:30, he went with the Patriots. And Chris Sanders, you should have stuck with your gut on Sunday, but you've had to flip-flop on me, Chris.
Hey, you know you got to go with the first pick, so that still counts, right?
No, it does not. You lost hope in the 2 hours we talked about the game, and then the Titans went out there, and I think they did that because you flip-flopped on them in the pregame show. Chris Sanders joining us, presented by Craneworks. What did you make of that Titans performance on Sunday?
Man, I thought it was unbelievable. But as I was just looking at the game, this was the first time that I've ever seen in my life see Brady not in control of the whole game. I mean, it was just a phenomenal job by offense, defense, special teams, and it all started with Jennings making that kickoff return for 58 to 60 yards. So they jumped on him quick, and it was just a great performance all around, and that's what we've been waiting to see from the Tennessee Titans.
What do you walk away with from that matchup? Like, if you were on that team, what would you take away and go into the future games with, and what would you leave behind and say, okay, that was last week, this is this week?
Man, that if we play our perfect game, we play good on offense, defense, that we can beat anybody. And that's the one thing that I would take away from the game, because if you look at what they did, they didn't just beat the New England Patriots. They punished the New England Patriots. So that's one thing that I'll take away from that. But the one thing that I would kind of leave there is just basically – finishing them even more. I mean, just like Brady and them, even if they're up by 50 to 60 points, they're going to try to get 60 to 70 to try to beat you. So the only thing I can take away from that they can improve on is just really having that killer instinct.
Chris, 2.5, 3 weeks, the offense has looked like the real deal. You know, I mean, we've been able to pitch and catch and not set the world on fire, but compared to where we were, we look like you know, we've dramatically improved.
You know,
in your mind, is this? Can we expect this from now on, or is still going to be bumps in the road?
Pump your brakes, there, Floyd. Okay, because let's just look at the stats now. I mean, I'm not being mean. I'm not being Mr. Grinch. I know it's almost Christmas, but Mariota only has 7 touchdowns. I mean, he's only got 7 touchdowns. So let's just keep building on where we're going. Yes, they played great against the Eagles, and yes, they played great against the New England Patriots. But what we've been talking about, all three of us, what we've been talking about all year is we want to see them be consistent each and every week. Like, we were like this about 4 or 5 weeks ago when we were on top of the world. We were 3-1. Everybody's excited. Everybody's like, you know, Mariota for president. Then all of a sudden they lose to the Bills, and then they lose to some other teams that they should have beaten. So we're in that same predicament now. We got a Colts team that's 4-5. They're playing ball. What are we going to do? Are we going to go down there and lay an egg like we did at Buffalo? Or are we going to go down there and have the performance that we had against the New England Patriots?
We're looking at Luck and some of his numbers and some of the things he's doing. I'm going to tell you what now. He is pitching and catching.
Yeah, and he's not complaining about how much weapons he don't have. They have a tight end down there named Ebron. Who the heck is he?
He was the 10th overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, but I've never heard of that guy. I mean, he hasn't been doing anything, but now he caught 3 touchdowns last week. And the one thing I love about Luck is, even though he may not have the talent around him, is he's making those guys better. I know he has an offensive line that's improving each week. And in my opinion, and I may be wrong like I was last week, but this is an improved team back from week one.
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is with us, presented by Craneworks. How much of the Colts' recent success do you take away from, and I know you were a Colts guy coming into the season, but how much of it are the teams they're playing, like Oakland, the Jets, Buffalo, Jacksonville, who has sunk to an unbelievable level, and how much of it is the fact that maybe Indianapolis is pretty good?
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. This is what we got to understand. You know, we say teams are terrible in the NFL. These are not terrible players. These are players that are the best at their game. So it's not that you're going against a team that just doesn't have good players. They have some good players. And if you look at across the board, you can start with your quarterback, which is Luck. And the one thing that he does is he elevates everybody to make great plays, and that's exactly what he's doing. I'm telling you, man, this is a scary, scary game because at the beginning of the season, nobody's talking about the Colts. Everybody was talking about Luck, you know, his arm, and he can barely throw a Nerf ball, all that crazy stuff. But if you look it in his eyes, there's something different about this guy to say, you know what, we're in the hunt to try to get this AFC South.
We saw Corey Davis last week go against one of the better corners in the league and light him up pretty good.
Yeah.
Is that proof that maybe, you know, if we go, if he goes out there with that kind of attitude, he might have a chance to be something?
Pump your brakes there, Floyd. on a serious note, I think he can. You know, I give a lot of credit to Matt LaFleur. And the reason why I give him credit is he put Corey Davis in a position to make plays. If you look at the plays and the balls that he caught, they were in formations that it had to be man coverage. It had to be man coverage. They went a 3-by-1. He was the number two receiver. And when he's the number two receiver, that means they have to go man-to-man. And when they went man-to-man, then all of a sudden it's just Imano. And he killed that defensive back. I mean, that defensive back had absolutely no chance because Matt LaFleur put in position to make plays.
Last one for you, Chris. What is the key to winning at Indianapolis on Sunday?
You know, just like last week when we talked about what do they have to do is they have to start fast, especially with a team like the Indianapolis Colts. It started with Jennings. Jennings made a 58-yard kickoff return. Then all of a sudden they threw on first down to Corey Davis, and you can just see the momentum continuing. So I think for this week, they got to do the exact same thing. They can't go out there and say, well, we have a 3-and-out and we'll catch up. No. You got to start fast from special teams, and when you get the ball, mix it up, throw it on first down like they did last week, and I think they can be successful in beating the Colts.
Chris Sanders, NBA, has a big game this weekend against Brentwood Academy in the Division II football playoffs.
Sir.
What is the key for an NBA win on Friday night?
Just win, baby. That's it. Hey, Jared, I got to ask you a question. I don't mean to get off subject.
Okay.
You've been killing Jonnu Smith this year, right?
Yes.
Is he your best player?
No.
He made a couple of catches and some touchdowns. He's not on your fantasy team?
He fumbled on the sideline,
and
I'm thinking,
Floyd,
Jonnu,
help me here.
Prosperity. Hey, I gave Jonnu a game ball after the Cowboys game, and Floyd got mad at me for that.
Well, how can you give him a game ball and you don't like him?
Because he's not that good.
He just scored a touchdown and he made some key plays.
And we gave him a game ball, except Floyd didn't want to give him a game ball. You got to ask Floyd why he wouldn't give him a game ball.
Come on, Pancake. I took the name this week.
No.
It goes back to you. Here's your trophy.
Chris Sanders, we will see you on Sunday.
Thanks,
the pregame show. Good luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good luck on Friday to Chris Sanders.
Thank you.
And NBA as they take on Brentwood Academy. I mean, I was not going to take it from Chris today being called a pancake flip-flopper after he flip-flopped on the pregame show. Hey, a reminder, Chris Sanders brought to you by Craneworks, serving the Southeast for over 30 years. Visit craneworks.com. I am not going to take it from Chris on being a pancake flip-flopper this week. I will say this. I got to give Jonnu his due. Jonnu is playing okay.
Much better.
But when Jonnu fumbled that ball, I'm like, oh, Jonnu. Like, he couldn't live with prosperity. It's like he's already caught a touchdown pass. Now he catches the ball, flings Patrick Chung off, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. Like, I'm thinking, oh, yes, he just flung Patrick Chung off, and he's running down the sidelines for a touchdown. Jonnu freaking Smith. And then he fumbled the ball, and I'm like, oh. Come on, Jonnu. You were so close to having a great game.
He's really improved.
He has gotten better.
He is much, much better at everything he's done, you know.
Even the blocking?
So he's got a long way to go, and he's got to continue what he's doing. But at least you see a little light at the end of the tunnel.
I'm so with Chris in one regard on one thing he said. And that to me was, you know, they really starting fast at Indianapolis would be so convenient on Sunday. Because what happened with the Buffalo game was you start the game and Taywan Taylor fumbles the ball and Buffalo scores a touchdown, and now you're playing from behind the whole game, and you're just so much better off if you score early and kind of keep the momentum going from game to game. Because if you go in there and they score and it's 7-0 and now you're playing behind, it's like all the momentum from Sunday is gone again, and that's what I think the Titans can't have happen, because it is, honestly, when you look at the schedule, it feels like it's time for the Titans to start kind of stacking wins a little bit if they're going to be one of these playoff caliber teams.
Well, all that'd be ideal. I mean, Indy, I think, is averaging like 28 points in the first half. I mean, they start fast.
But they ain't played the number one defense
yet. Yeah, right. And And so it'll be interesting to see if we can keep up because they are flying.
Yeah, you got to give the number one defense a little love. Pawpaw Dean.
I like the number one defense.
You just kind of scoffed at the number one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not the inside the 20 I'm worried about. It's the other 80 yards that scares me to death.
Oh, in the little middle? I'm just saying. Got to give the number one defense a little love. Got to give them. We're live for the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. Coming up next, the best Christmas present that Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans could receive. Now, I don't think they're going to get it, and I was told a couple weeks back that they probably wouldn't, but now it looks like they might. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we are giving away a pair of Tennessee Vols tickets to the game against Missouri later today on the show, so be listening for that. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, join us every Friday, 5:45. We'll select our picks on the Big Six games in both college and pro football action. Six-pack picks brought to you by Porvoo. So, I think the Titans need a Christmas present. So it'd have to come at the end of the year, right around the time Santa gets done doing his Christmas giving to everybody else. But this is in the Tennessean, and I'll just read it to you straight up. Delanie Walker is not giving up. Quote, if I was giving up, the Titans tight end said, I wouldn't even be here getting rehab and treatment. I would just wait until next year, end quote. Instead, Walker was in the Titans locker room Wednesday, taking a few minutes to chat with the reporters about his continued recovery from a gruesome ankle injury, yada, yada, yada. The 34-year-old tight end, who only began walking with crutches a little over 2 weeks ago, remains without a firm timetable for return. More than once, though, he mentioned the playoffs as a potential target for return in a best-case scenario. Walker says, quote, in my mind, it's just to get healthy. But in the back of my mind, if I can get healthy earlier where I can come back and play, I'm going to do that. But like I told you guys, I really don't know. I don't know what the time length is going to be. I feel good right now. Could I feel better when the time comes when we're in the playoffs? Yeah, we'll see. But right now, I'm just worried taking it day by day just to get healthy to be able to come back for next year. But if I can play this year, I will. Floyd, any chance Delanie Walker comes back and the Titans get him if they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I'd be really surprised. I mean, I'd probably closer to shocked.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the injury was suffered in early September.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about January, so that's 5 months. I mean, that's a long time.
Well, think about Marcus. I mean, this injury is a lot worse than Marcus's. And Marcus got hurt at the end of the year, and he still didn't do anything at the beginning of camp.
But didn't they say that Derek Carr came back like 3 weeks after Derek Carr had his thing, that if the Raiders had gone to the Super Bowl, Carr would have been able to play?
Yes, but I don't think this – I think this is even worse. I think this is worse than that.
What Delanie Walker did?
Yes.
So this is where I'm
– guessing.
This is what I guess I'm kind of trying to figure out is Delanie Walker goes in there and is like, I'm working hard to come back this year. But I'm just taking it day by day.
I don't even know if he's on. Is he on?
He's on IR, but that it, can't you come back to return?
We have to designate return IR.
And I'm not sure they did do that.
I don't remember them doing that. But they could have. I just don't remember them doing that.
But you can only do that with like one person, right?
Yeah, you can only do it one or two guys. I can't remember.
Are you sure? Like, can't they put you on IR and then like in week 9, then designate you to return?
If they designate it beforehand. But, I mean, you can't do it unless they change the rule. You can't do it. You can't put a guy on, put 10 guys on IR and then select which one you want back. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put 3 guys on return, I mean, you get one of those guys back. So, I mean.
If you were going to take a guy back, though, from IR to return, he'd be the guy to take.
Yeah, I think it's the hard part about this is you don't know what's, you know, God forbid you get one of your starting players that gets a high ankle sprain, he's going to miss 5 weeks. Well, you can put him on IR return and get him back maybe by the end of the year and fill his spot with somebody else and go on.
Yeah, like the classic case of example for me with IR to return was Aaron Rodgers last year when he broke his collarbone in September, and he was back out there in November. So you put him on IR to return, and then you sign a new quarterback, and then you get rid of that quarterback when Aaron comes back.
Right.
Like, that's what it's for. I do wonder, though, like, let's just say Delaney could come back. Because my guess is they probably did designate him to return if he's talking about returning in the playoffs. You know, if they had just, you know, IR'd Delaney Walker to where Delaney Walker couldn't return, then why would Delaney be talking about the playoffs right now to the reporters? What if you got to a Super Bowl? Yeah, I mean, you probably could not return for a wild card weekend the first week of January. But the first week of February in a Super Bowl? Let's see that. September, October, November, December, January. That's 5 full months into his 6th month. Could Delaney Walker play in a Super Bowl? Oh. And if you were good enough the whole year to get to the Super Bowl without Delaney Walker, would you still bring Delaney Walker back in for the Super Bowl? My answer to that is yes.
Oh, yeah, if he's healthy. You know, if he's healthy and he can come in and help you, sure, you'd bring him in. But, I mean, I think I'd be surprised. You know, I mean, he's just, what'd they say? He was on crutches 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, so, I mean, he's still got a ways to go.
Delaney says, I want to get out there as fast as I can. I know everyone always says heal fast. I'm not trying to let people down, just trying to heal as fast as I can. But again, it's just going to be if I feel good enough to go out there, if we make it to the playoffs or not, or whenever I can come back. So it sounds like Delaney wants to come back if they get to the playoffs, but it also doesn't sound like Delaney's certain that he would come back if they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, if he was certain, I'm going to guess. I'm just guessing this. He would have, like, a date in mind, you know, or I'll be ready in 3 weeks, or I'll be, you know, off IR in 2 weeks, or whatever the case may be. And he's not, you know, we're not hearing any of that. But I don't know. I mean, all of it could be possible.
When he broke his leg, how long does that ankle injury take you out for? Like, do you expect Delaney back for training camp next year? He got hurt in September of this year. Training camp next year would be the end of July. Should Delaney be ready for training camp next year?
Well, I mean, was it like Marcus's or like Carr's? You know, that's what we don't know. If it's like Marcus's, it's going to be...
Well, you said this was worse than Marcus's. But Marcus's also didn't take the whole year.
Worse than Carr's. I don't know if it's worse than Marcus or not. Marcus missed the first part of camp.
That's Marcus missed
February,
like 7 months.
March, April, May, June, July. You know, he's on 7 months. So
7 months would put Delaney back at March.
Yeah, whenever. But, I mean, the season will be over, that's for sure.
Right, but I'm talking about for next year.
Yeah.
You know these injuries inside and out. You've been through all these.
It just depends on how well he heals. He's 34. Different when you're 24.
So do you feel that way? Do you not feel that way? I mean, you gotta give me something here.
I
think if Delaney Walker is able to play in a Super Bowl, that would be the only chance they get him back. The only chance. But I'd still take him back in a Super Bowl. I have good news for the Titans. So, or I shouldn't say good news, but Joe Rexroad is mad at me from the Tennessean because I said that I thought there were 40,000 Patriot fans at the game on Sunday. So Joe puts it out on Twitter and is like, I think it's 20. Jared thinks it's 40. What do you all think? And literally half the responses are, oh, there's no way there was 40,000 fans there. And then the other is, oh, there were way more Patriot fans than there were Titans fans there on Sunday. I've just resigned myself to the fact that we're never going to figure out what the percentage of Titans fans to Patriot fans is. The thing I will say about that, though, is I don't think you're going to run into that the rest of the season because the rest of your home games are the Redskins, the Jets, the Texans, the Redskins, the Jets, the Colts, and the Jags. And none of those teams really have fans except for the Redskins and the Jets, and both those fan bases hate their team. So they're not going to travel down here, and the Redskins game is around Christmas, so at least you're not going to have to deal with that anymore. I think the Titans need to take this opportunity and need to really focus in on next season, how they don't let fan bases like New England or Philadelphia or Dallas or those Pittsburgh or whoever likes to take over the stadium. I feel like they really do need to come up with an idea, Floyd, about what they can do to help keep the other fans out next season when you get to that point.
Yeah, you're talking about like what the Preds did.
Yeah, do something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you. I mean, I could see you doing it for 17,000, but I don't know how you do it for 70. I don't know how that would work. I mean, you could request. I'm sure.
I know, but not every other team has. Not. I mean, what they have to do is they have to get their local fans more excited about coming to games. That's what they have to do.
I mean, you don't want. I mean, you have to talk to, you know, the individual fans some way somehow. I don't know how they would do that, but I'm sure they'd have a method.
But they've got to figure it out.
They could send an email or something to them.
Stop.
What are you going to do? Go knock on their door?
Get your rear ends out in the community.
I'm the ticket guy.
Yes, that's what you do. Okay. You get your butt in the community. Like, you can say what you want about Sean Henry with the Predators, but he gets his butt out in the community. We don't see the Titans' butts out in the community like that. Rudy Kalis once told me a story, the great legendary Rudy Kalis. Rudy Kalis told me a story that they were getting ready one day to host the sports show on a Sunday night. And Rudy's getting ready to go do this at Channel 4, and Rudy hears a banging on the back door. And so Rudy goes to the back door, he opens it up, and it's Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher. And they wanted to go on the shows back then, and they wanted to promote the Titans. And I remember you telling me that you wore a three-piece suit to work every day. Why did you wear a three-piece suit to work every day when you were general manager of the Titans, Floyd?
I thought it was important.
Why?
I mean, you want to look like the real deal.
Because you'd be out in the community all the time. You worked your butt off to get people to believe in this team to get out there. Your butt was out in the community. Their butts need to get out into the community for this. Now, the other good news of that is the Titans don't have, as I'm looking at it right now, any invading fan bases coming in town next year unless you win the division and you get the Patriots. And if that's the case, then the Patriots would come back here next year. So that would be the fun part.
How do you know the schedule for next year?
Because it's all set in stone except for the team that you play from the cross divisions, and the AFC East team comes here next year. So if you finish second and Miami finishes second, then Miami comes here. If you finish first and New England finishes first, then New England comes here. So you have to go to the north. So if you finish first and Pittsburgh finishes first, then you have to go to Pittsburgh.
So who
next
do we
year.
Play next year?
Next year at home.
AFC North?
No, next year you play the West. So the Chargers and the Chiefs are here. The Raiders and the Broncos are there. So, I mean, I'd rather have Raiders Broncos there because they got a lot of fans. They bring them all to the stadium. So the Titans need to get their butts in the community so that one game next year, if it's against the Patriots, is fine. If it's not, then they don't have to do anything because it's the Texans, the Colts, the Jags, the Chiefs. Although the Chiefs do have a lot of fans, but they don't have, you know, Dallas Cowboy-level fans. The Chiefs, the Chargers, who have no fans, the Saints, the Bucks, and then whoever wins the AFC East is who comes here. So you don't have to really worry about the Bucks coming to town and taking over. But I'm kind of tired of it when the good team comes to town, when the fan, you know, the teams like the Steelers and they just pack it and it feels like a Steelers home game. I'm kind of tired of that. Like, I'd like to see the Titans at least make an effort to get their own fans to give a rat's tail about their own team to come to the games.
Yeah.
You're totally indifferent. You don't care if the Titans have their fans there, no fans there. You, for a guy who probably cared about it so much when he was GM,
always the same.
Doesn't care about it now.
I mean, we're trying to make it so hard. It's not hard. You got to win. If you win, they will show.
Win to what level?
You got to be in the playoffs. You got to get to a point where they're every year they thinking, hey, we got a shot this year. If so and so, if this number one draft choice pans out, we got a chance.
So if you continue on with the season as it looks right now, then it would feel like the fans should have hope for next year.
Yeah, depending.
So I then mean, if the Titans get their butts in the community, maybe they'll sell some season tickets. They also got to get rid of the PSL.
Why don't we get the ticket guy on the show? I mean, we need to talk to him. Get the stadium and the ticket guy on the show.
You know him.
And let's talk to them.
You know him. Get him on.
I don't know him. They're all new.
Get him on. If you want to have him on, get him on.
We keep talking. We need to talk to them.
I talked to somebody yesterday at the stadium who works for the stadium about how
I'm talking about tickets in the stadium. Was his name Bob Flynn?
No.
Well, you talked to the wrong guy. Bob Flynn's the guy you got to talk to.
Then let's bring him on.
Let's get him on.
That's on you, though. I need you to go ahead and let them know.
I don't know, Bob. I mean, I can say, hi, how are you? He didn't work for me, but I mean, let's get him on here so you can tell him how to do his business.
I will say this. You ripped his buns pretty good a couple years
ago. And we need to get the ticket guy on here so you can get him going, too.
I would love to talk to them about what is your plan. And Two questions.
You never ask me the plan. You tell me the plan. That's why you need to tell them.
And I do have some plans for the Gates.
Which, sure you do.
And I believe I really believe this. If the Titans hired me to be a consultant to them about what they can do with their game day atmosphere and tickets and fan base and things like that, they'd be in a lot better spot. Because I actually know how the Titans fans feel and react and all those kind of things. So I'm just saying. But I would like to know what the plan is for, getting the people through the gates. What can the plan be to be better there? And then what is the plan so that when you have future games against these teams, they don't just pack your stadium full of Cowboy fans and Steeler fans and Eagle fans and Patriot fans? Which is, I think, something fair to ask. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The Preds lost last night in maybe the most debilitating way possible. I mean, it was really depressing. But there's one thing that me and Floyd have been begging to see from this team that maybe they might have that may help them in the playoffs. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, get your picks in now for Silly Underdog Picks before the weekend's college football games. Again, visit thegamenashville.com and play Silly Underdog Picks today. The weekly winner will get a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl on Friday, December 28th at Nissan Stadium, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hurdle goes down the right wing. Gaudreau comes back to him on the sidewall. Brought back out to the blue line, and it got away from Braun. Here's Philip Forsberg. Forsberg breaking into the San Jose zone. His shot, he scores. Philip Forsberg gets the Predators on the board, and now they're down by one. Buck comes back in for Couture on the right side. Coming on late, Brent Burns tried to toe drag it around, and that was not happening with Craig Smith. Here's Forsberg and Turris. Forsberg got the shot, he scored! Philip Forsberg tied it up at 17:52. Who would have thought?
What a play that was.
So the Preds didn't play well last night, but Forsberg lit it up in their loss to San Jose. So the bad is that they've now lost two in a row, which for a team that pretty much wins every game, that is at least a little bit of a red flag here or there, whatever. Last night, they looked like they were sleepwalking in the first period. Every goal, I went back and watched it this morning. Every goal that San Jose scored last night was an opportunity that the Preds had to get the puck out of their own zone and couldn't do it. Like, it was one of those just sloppy, not very good defensive performances. But Forsberg single-handedly, put them in position to win last night. And so this is the one good thing. We have begged for that team to go out and get us a big boy forward, right? Like, when we watch these teams play in the playoffs, we see the names like Crosby and Malkin and Ovechkin and McDavid and Taves and Kane. And we've said, the Preds have a bunch of good players, but they don't have that one guy to go up when you're playing the big boys, and maybe that's what they need, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we felt like that's the one area. If there's anything missing on this team that we see with other good teams, it's that guy that's, everybody's scared to death of.
Is there a chance Forsberg is becoming that? Because you heard in the call right there, Hal's like, wow, what an amazing play. And how many times this season has he scored, from an angle or, the goalie's got his pad right there and Forsberg gets it, one inch right above the pad and it goes into the back of the net. They know every time he's on the ice, they know to look for him. And he is right now sixth in the league in goals. And when you're talking about sixth in the league in goals, here's the names he's with. Kane, Ovechkin, Pasternak, McKinnon, Tavares, Draisaitl, Landeskog, McDavid. Like, and then there's a couple other guys in there that are like, you know, whatever. But he is right there in the mix with the McKinnons and the Ovechkins and the McDavids. And I'm wondering if he's just scoring a lot of goals right now and that he'll cool down later in the year because he is kind of a streaky player, or if at this point in his career he's starting to kind of blossom into a big boy, he's the man kind of forward for this team.
You know, I'm going to guess that we probably need to step back and wait and see. I mean, like you said, I think those other guys that you mentioned, those names, I mean, those guys kind of get theirs every year. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to go out and get 40, and that's or whatever the number is. And I'm not sure we've seen a little bit of up and down, and, you know, we haven't seen that consistency yet.
I mean,
but it sure be nice if it got there. I mean, when you mentioned those other names on that scoring, Forsberg just didn't quite fit in there.
Yeah, and then there's like Jeff Skinner. Like Jeff Skinner's on the list in Buffalo.
There you go.
And Jeff Skinner's like a guy. You know, like he's okay. Ian, what do you think? Do you think he is starting to become a legit big boy forward?
He's getting there. I can't quite go that far yet. He's a little streaky for my liking as far as the top, you know, forward goes. He scored last night, but I think it was 6 games without scoring with only 1 assist in those 6 games. So I'd like to see a little bit more of a consistent basis.
And see, that's the thing that's crazy about him and his career about the streaks. We've gone through 3 weeks at a time where he literally carries the team. Where, do you remember, I think it was 2 years ago in the month of February, for like 2 weeks he was scoring 2 goals a game, 3 goals a game. And they were winning games solely because of him. And he's got that capability. But I was just looking at, here's his point total for the last 4 years. So he's played 4 full seasons in the NHL. Here's his 4 point totals. 63, 64, 58, 64. Now he's at 18 right now through 18. So he's on pace for 82 points. Do you think he's going to score 82 points, or do you think he's going to score more like the 64 that he scores every year?
Yeah, I would say it's closer to the 60.
So he's got.
But if he got to the 8, yeah.
Then he'd be.
There you go.
And what do the big boy forwards usually score? About 80 points a season. They're usually point-per-game players. So that's the thing that I'm kind of watching right now with this team. Now, I think a lot of people are going to chalk up the way that they played at the beginning of the game last night against San Jose. They're going to chalk that up to, hey, they were tired. They traveled from Anaheim the night before. They played an overtime game. And, you know, that's what happens. Your legs are kind of flat. You get the PK injury. Like, there's a lot going on there. And so they'll look at that as why they came out flat. I kind of disagree with that. Now, I think that's why they ran out of gas at the end of the game, because they were looking fat at the end of the game, and that ain't with a PH. I think they're kind of bored. Like, what's this San Jose game to them? Like, you're playing San Jose on a Tuesday night. Like, you know, you just played Anaheim, your best team in the league. We were the best team in the league last year. Playoffs aren't for 5 months. Like, what are you doing? And then when they got down, it's like, okay, hold on, now we got to start playing it. Like, all right, you know, now we got to start working hard again. And they went out there and they took it right to San Jose. So I wonder if that's kind of creeping in a little bit with them.
Yeah, I would say if it was creeping in, they wouldn't have played that second period the way they played it.
Either that or Rob Gillette rip their you-know-whats after the end of the first.
Well, for whatever. I mean, he needs to rip them off right off the bat then, if that's the case. I mean, I just saw it as real inconsistent, you know. First period was all there. Second period was all us. And third period came down
trying to win the game. Great, and then them.
Yeah. So.
By the way, Rocco Grimaldi on that breakaway last night. Woo, that was pretty. Woohoo, that was pretty. Oh, that was so beautiful. I also looked back at each goal this morning. And because, you know, last night you're just watching the game like you're just watching it. So I went back and watched it today, and I looked at each goal. And I thought, what could Saros do on each goal that they scored? And literally nothing. Just like I want to get mad at Craig Smith because he and Yossi come down on a 2-on-1, and Yossi lays a beautiful pass there to drop it off to Smith, and Smith puts it right on the net, and Martin Jones just brings his glove right up and makes the save. And I was thinking to myself, I wanted to get mad at Craig Smith for not converting because that would have put the game away. You would have been up 5-3 at that point in the third period, and it would have been over. and I wanted to get mad at Craig Smith for not scoring and closing the game out. But then you look back at it, that was just a beautiful save by Martin Jones. And it's like Hal said yesterday on the show, sometimes you do have to tip your cap to the other guy out there. And it's a beautiful save by Jones. And then Saros, nothing he could do on those goals. The defense was just lousy. So let's take your Preds calls. We'll take a little bit of a Titans breather here. Your thoughts. And here's the question. Philip Forsberg averages about 63 points a season. Right now, he's a point-per-game player. Is he a point-per-game player this year? Is he that much better? Or will he be at about, you know, what he has been, which is a good player, but not the elite of the elite? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. ESPN 1025 The Game is giving you a chance to build and create your own ultimate fan cave. You could win a foosball table courtesy of Family Leisure of Franklin, a state-of-the-art reclining sofa from Nashco Furniture, $700 worth of collegiate fan cave decor, compliments of Alumni Hall, a Nashville SC scarf and autographed poster, plus so much more. This prize has a value of over $5,000. Wow. It literally does feel like the showcase showdown on Price is Right. For more details and to see the list of the items to create your own ultimate fan, go to thegamenashville.com or our mobile app. Enter to win today. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And now Yannick Weber goes after it, taken away from Johansson. And Pavelski scores the tying goal. Joe Pavelski ties it at 4. Quick movement in the Nashville zone. Now they come down, and Sorensen feeds the puck to Joe Thornton, and the Sharks have the lead 5-4. In 13 seconds, they have scored twice to retake control of the hockey game.
How do you assess this one overall tonight?
Lousy first, good second, back and forth in the third. They ended up, we made some mistakes there at the end there that cost us. We had plenty of looks and chances to make it 5-3 or even go back to tie it again, and it didn't bounce for us.
Preds lose last night. They've now lost 2 in a row. Floyd, are you worried? 2 in a row for the Preds. They lose in overtime to Anaheim, who's not very good, and then they lose last night in regulation, a game in which they had a 4-3 lead in the third period. And then just 2 back-to-back screw-ups by the Predators in their own defensive zone. Well, I mean, one of them was just a cross-ice pass leading to a 2-on-1 and then a goal. You lose to San Jose. At San Jose, are you worried?
No.
Why not?
I mean, that's just – they're in great shape. I mean, I don't worry about this now. This is – for me, this is kind of window dressing.
I'm not worried either. But what would have to happen in order for us to get worried? Like, if they dropped 6 in a row, would you be worried?
Oh, well, are we still ahead, or did we drop to 3rd or 4th?
I mean, if you lose 6 in a row, that's 12 points that you missed out on, which means that somebody else is probably picking up 9 points in that time period. You're up by, like, 3 points or something like that in the division. So my guess is you probably drop to, like, 3rd or 4th, or, you know, you may be hanging out with the Blackhawks at that point.
I mean, if you get down there, yeah, I think you start being concerned. But if there's no injuries, if there's no...
Which there are right now.
I mean, we know this team is good. I mean, we know this team's going to make it to the playoffs. And then where they go from there is always the story. But I don't think it's a, you know, the regular season is going to be earth-shattering for anything they do. Unless they decide they want to win the second President's Trophy or whatever it is.
Which we have said on this show we do not care about, right?
I mean, I don't care about it, but maybe they do.
Well, who cares what they care about?
Well, they're the players. They're the ones that will determine if they get it or not.
Do you think they care about the President's Trophy more than they care about the Cup?
No.
That's what we all should be. Hey, they wear those shirts that say one goal. And that's my goal. Win the Cup, baby. This is an alarming. I shouldn't say alarming. It's a shocking stat for the Predators. Do you know what their goal differential is? Which I'm stunned because I feel like they win a lot of these games by one goal or maybe 2 goals. Their goal differential is plus 19 on the season. Minnesota, who's in second place, 3 points behind the Preds, is plus 7. Winnipeg is plus 9. So they're plus 19. Minnesota is plus 7. Winnipeg is plus 9. Dallas is plus 1. Colorado is plus 9. I mean, that is, and there is nobody else. You're plus 19. There is nobody else in the Western Conference who is plus 10. You're plus 19. Go to the Eastern Conference, where you would think, okay, you know, there's got to be some teams that are lighting it up in terms of goal differential. Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston, plus 14, plus 16, plus 12. So they've got three teams in one division that have a goal differential of plus 10. Nobody else in the entire conference is plus 10. You're plus 19. You're almost plus 20, and nobody else is plus 10. That, to me, tells me that you are dominating your entire conference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – did we need that to tell us that we're dominating?
I know, but that's what the Kansas City Chiefs do.
I think we're pretty well dominating right now.
So we asked the question, you know, is Forsberg going to go back to 64 points, or is he going to be a point-per-game player like the big boy forwards out there? And Timothy tweets in and says, Forsberg was almost a point per game last season. He just missed a bunch of games. That is right. Remember, he got hurt and he got suspended. So does that change your mind that maybe Forsberg's going to be a point per game, big boy kind of forward this year?
Because he was hurt?
Last season and was about a point per game last year?
No.
I mean, you want to see like 84 points.
Yeah. I mean, being hurt is part of not getting to the big boy table.
No, I mean, those guys, like if Crosby gets hurt and misses half the season, when they get to the playoffs, Crosby's a big boy forward.
Yes, but we're not talking about Crosby.
No, but we're talking about competing with Crosby.
Yes, we're trying to get to the point where we can compete with Crosby.
Well, they've already competed with Crosby. I mean, they've gotten as close as you can get. They just couldn't get past Crosby.
Right.
So that's kind of the... But the Washington got past Crosby, but they have a big boy forward as well. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Al is up next on the Preds. What's up, Al?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, I think that, in watching, the game last night, they just looked like they were tired. Okay, and those back-to-back games like that are, and then they've been on the road now. It's a long trip. Okay, but I don't think that makes a hill of beans. This is a good team, and then you know, the whole story is this: you're asking how many games would they have to win to be in first place? Well, how many games do you think they would have to lose to look bad? Okay, so what I'm trying to say to you is this: you can't make attempts at trying to figure out how the team is doing by what they're doing from day to day.
I agree. Okay. I mean, I think we all sit in the same boat, Alan. I appreciate your call. I think we all sit in the same boat. And I've thought this the whole time. I always thought, now the TV ratings and the radio information tells me a different story, but I always thought that this season Predator fans were going to be like, you know, whatever on the season, because they know that it all matters about the playoffs. But then I see what the TV ratings are, and I'm like, everybody's watching every game. So what's that tell you? You know, so, I mean, I look at game to game, and I just hope they don't peak early in the season, but I feel like the team is too experienced for that. I think they know better than that. So I think there's, I mean, like, they lost last night, and they shouldn't have lost last night, but is anyone really all that upset that they lost last night?
I don't think so. I mean, nobody wants to lose, but I mean, you're not going to go into a funk because, you know, of that loss.
I mean, I might be rooting for a losing streak now. I think I should root for a losing streak.
That first period last night was just terrible.
But I think they're bored. I think last night in the first period is that they are bored. And then they got down and they're like, oh, holy crap, we got down. Let's go start playing.
They got embarrassed. There's no doubt.
Yes. Like, they got bored. Like, all right, yeah, it's another game. Roll the helmets out. Go beat this team and whatever. Wake me up in April. Like, that's the feeling I get when I watch this team play, but I don't know. And that's why I do think they got tired, though, at the end of the game. I think they kind of ran out of gas. Some heavy legs, some guys who suck, like Matt Irwin out there. Like, that, I think, kind of all adds up. 615-737-1025. You can poo-poo Marcus Mariota all you want, and a lot of people want to do it. But is the Marcus Mariota that we've seen the last 2 weeks since the bye game, is he the real Mariota? We'll get into that coming up next. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game.